All right, we need to remember this. Love one another. Amen?
Amen.
If we do that, we'll get along pretty good. Go to the book of Luke.
Please, the book of Luke, chapter 5. Book of Luke, chapter 5. Who read the sign out front? Well, two of us did, and I know Jeff did because he's the one who put it on there. Faith plus obedience equals success. But turning failures into success takes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Luke chapter 5, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, to be able to come worship you freely. There's many in this world today that can't do this. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that as of right now, that we're in a country that allows us to do this freely. Lord, we pray for each of the prayer requests. Have your will with each one. There's many, Lord, that are out today for whatever reason. Lord, be with them. Speak to their hearts. Put a hedge of protection about them. Lord, we ask that, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, or in the sound of my voice, that today, that they would trust you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Ask now that you be with us as we get into your word and the message you've laid on my heart. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us each and every day of our lives. Hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, praise the Lord that in verse 11, because they followed him, we have the gospel today in our life. Now, just think about that. I mean, it's pretty simple if you really look at it. If they hadn't have done that, everybody says, oh yeah, Jesus would have got some more people that would have. Well, how do we know that? I'm sure he would have. But aren't you glad that they followed the Lord Jesus? Amen. I mean, we ought to really be thankful that they followed the Lord Jesus. We should be thankful that they were faithful in doing what they said. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were saved men, but they had failed that night. They went out and they fished all night long. And by the way, they were in business. And actually, they had a pretty lucrative business because it says in some other Gospels, they had servants. And to have servants, you had to have a pretty good business. So they were making good money. But when they went out that night, they fished all night long and didn't catch a thing. And by the way, that's... I've been there. I wasn't doing it for money, but I've been there where I fished all night long. And you get home at 4 a.m. and your wife's like, you know, when she finally gets up, where's the fish? Well, it wasn't none. You sure you went fishing? Anyway. And so they were a little on the disappointed side. They were a little tired. You know, I get that. And there might have been some people that came to them and said, "Hey, what's the deal, Peter? You're one of the best fishermen out here. You know, you've won the big trophy of the big fish you've caught, and people look up to you. I mean, he owned his own homes, which says a lot for those guys. Here he is. He goes out there and he don't have nothing, but he's decided to follow this guy that claims he's the Messiah. And, you know, they probably were saying, what's the big deal? I thought if you followed Jesus, everything was going to be good now. Your business is going to flourish. Your pocketbooks are going to be full. I could dig mine out because I don't even carry it. Don't have nothing in it. Everything's going to be smooth sailing now. You know, people do that. You know, they'll do that. They look at you and they treat us kind of that same way. How come you got problems? How come you got sickness in your family? How come your car is breaking down? How come you had a flat? You're following Jesus now. Everything ought to be real good. Of course, see, they listen to these health and wealth preachers that they'll preach, well, you just follow Jesus and everything's going to be great now. It's all going to be smooth highway. And boy, you're going to be doing good and you're going to be healthy and wealthy. You're not wise, so I don't know why somebody added that on there. You're going to be healthy and wealthy and everything's just going to go real smooth for you because you follow Jesus. And by the way, if it isn't, they'll tell you that, well, you're sinning. Now, the Bible don't teach none of that. It's not in the Bible anywhere that if I follow Jesus, I'm going to get rich. It's not in there that if I follow Jesus, life is just going to be real smooth and I'm not going to get sick and my wife's not going to get sick and my children's not going to have problems. That's not in the Bible. Actually, quite the contrary. It's probably going to be more of a problem for you. Of course, folk don't like that, but it's true. But you ever notice these health and wealth preachers? They've all got 6 or 7 Learjets. They got their big fancy homes. Oh, it's because the Lord blesses me. You know, they stand out there and they say, God! And the Lord's blessing them. And they got the cufflinks. I can't afford one. You couldn't put cufflinks on any of it. They just snap sleeves. But listen, they all stand up there in their Armani suits and they got their fancy stuff and they tell you guys, hey, you be sure to give to the Lord right here. And all of that goes in their pocket and they're making how many millions a year? And then you got that one in Houston, Texas, that out of hell fella, and he's preaching, you declare it and you can have this and you can have that. That ain't in the Bible.
Amen.
They fill their own pockets. But, you know, you sinners, you got to get that out of your life now. That But you know, that's the way people treat us. You follow Jesus. Oh, I thought you followed Jesus. Why are you so sick? I thought you followed Jesus. How come you don't have it made? You know, I'm sure that's probably what they were doing to them. That's not in the Bible. But hey, and one thing I like about that series, The Chosen, it's not 100% following the way everything took place. It takes certain special little miracles that Jesus did, and it portrays them, and like the what do you call that dude? The leper. Jesus runs up on the leper and he heals him and he says, he needs a cloak. And then when he gets it on him and he puts it on him, he says, oh, green's your color. The Bible doesn't say Jesus said that. No. But, you know, he may have. I wasn't there. I think they were just like us. They were around the normal people like us. And they will make fun of you. And they will mock you that away. And they'll do that. But nonetheless, we know that they went out and fished all night. Now, they had a good business, as I mentioned. And by the way, they didn't catch anything. And they were disappointed. They were cleaning their nets because you needed to. They were taking care of their equipment because now they got to go back out and fish that night. Now, Jesus, you got to picture this, he's on the seashore, he's preaching, and the people just kept moving and moving and moving closer and closer until he's about standing in the water. Hey, Peter, I'm going to get in your boat. Why don't you launch out just a little bit? And you see, Peter had no idea what was about to take place. The other apostles that were there, by the way, that weren't apostles yet, they had no idea what was about to take place. There they are, they're standing there, Jesus gets in the boat, he says, Peter, launch out a little from the shore. So he goes out a little, and then Jesus talked, and he preached to them, and they listened. And, you know, they were about to experience a miracle and blessings. But that wasn't going to be just we're going to have a miracle and a blessing. There you go. They were fixing to see a whole lot more than that in their lifetime. You know, now, you see, there maybe this morning you might say, wow, that's interesting. I would have loved to have been there to see the miracles that Jesus done. I would love to have the blessings that went through the lives of the apostles and these people I read about in the Bible and how the power of the Lord was shown in their life. I'd love to do all of that. I'd love to experience those things. Guess what? You can. We can. We can see all of these same things in our lives that they saw in theirs. But there's some things we got to do. You see, Jesus, honestly, as a matter of fact, Jesus wants to show you this power. He wants to bless you in your life. Not just, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven. No, he wants to bless us here and now. He wants us to live that kind of life here and now. You see, he says, I came to give life. But then in that same statement, I think it's John 10:10, he said, I come to give it more abundant. Amen. Not just I'm saved and going to heaven, but there's a whole lot more out there for us. Amen. If we're willing to reach out and grab it. You see, just as Jesus didn't force not a soul in here to get saved, there's not a soul in here that he forced to believe on him and ask the Lord to save you. No one has ever been forced. He doesn't force us to receive the blessing we can receive either, to have the joy that we can have either. He don't force any of us. I'll be honest with you, once you experience it, you don't want no less. It doesn't just stop there. There's three things in this story that we need to see. Man, I've preached this chapter 5 so many times and it's always something different. And I was listening to some preaching the other night, and before I went to sleep, I heard part of him reading in chapter 5, and I'm like, what did he say? And I went to sleep. I got to studying on it more, and I realized what he's talking about. There was a whole lot more there, and it just wouldn't leave me alone. I had to keep studying it. You see, there's these three things in this story if we want to receive these kind of blessings. Number one, look at verse 3. Number one, it says, and Jesus entered into the ship, into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that was Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now, I want you to understand, this is like the third or fourth time that Jesus has called them to follow him. So it didn't happen right off. They said, hey, follow me, and they did, then it went back to work. Follow me, they did, and then went back to work. They did. Finally, he gets in the boat, he says, thrust out just a little. You see, thrust out a little. The Lord on a norm doesn't ask you to do a huge, heroic, out of the ordinary thing. He doesn't. He starts little bitty. Just little bitty thing. You know, he asks you to do just some little bitty things. But wow, what it can turn into. If we're obedient with the little bitty things, it's amazing how far that'll go. Here, I'll give you an example. King David. King David, he's been anointed when he was young, and his brothers are off at war, and his dad, Jesse, comes up to him and says, David, he says, take this care package or this little snacks and stuff I have for your brothers. Take it up there to them and see how they're doing, by the way. Oh, he shows up and here's some big idiot. That's the normal way to look at it. Defying the God of Israel. Anybody want to come out here and fight me? It all started with, hey, David, take this and go see how your brothers are doing. Yeah. Now, I'm going to pick on children a minute. Teenagers. Hey, you need to take the trash out.
Right.
Okay. But the trash is still sitting there because they're over there.
Right.
Or they got to watch a show. Or they got to talk to their boyfriend or girlfriend. Or they can make it. Maybe. Probably not. Maybe they're studying. You know, that's what the Lord done to Jesse, David's dad said, David, take this. Go see. What about the sheep? I never heard him complain. By the way, he's taking care of sheep. I never heard him say, well, what about our sheep? He just said, okay. Now, if he hadn't have went, we wouldn't have the story of King David and Goliath. I mean, he goes out there, when he gets there, he hears this idiot running his mouth, and he says, what's the deal? Why don't somebody go get rid of this nut? He takes a slingshot, picks up 5 stones, goes down there and says, hey, whoo, bam, laid him out. And then, by the way, he went up and pulled Goliath's own sword. And if it was Pakistani steel, he never saw it. But I don't think it was. It was probably Damascus steel. Chopped that old head off and blood and mess running everywhere. That's cool, isn't it? Yeah, oh yeah, his head would have been. I mean, we know what to do to run that 10 foot tall. That's a big fella. And he's trying to get, how old are you?
was about your age when he faced a guy that was right at 10 foot tall and was a warrior, not a school guy. He was a warrior. And David was a cheater. You know, the nastiest things on earth to deal with are sheep. They sneeze and they snot running out of their nose all the time. And they're dumber than a box of rocks. They really are. And here he is. He's going to face him. And he does. Now, I got to hand it to him. He had killed a lion before and he killed a bear before. But when you stand, listen, when you stand before a dude that's right at 10 foot tall and got a sword from you that big, this is the head of his spear weigh 15 pounds. Man, that's huge. You know, it all started with a little care package. Just a little watch. He just said, okay, I'll do it. You know, that's pretty impressive that he was willing to do it. He said, yeah, I'll go do it. He wasn't so busy with everything else that he couldn't go do it. Amen. Then there was this young boy one day, heard Jesus going to be in town, and he's following Jesus around. Wonder what he's doing. And his mom had fixed him a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. And they said, give me your food, son. I don't read in there where he complained and said, man, you ain't taking mine. I thought I was going to have to fight to my youngest granddaughter the other day. I reached down to grab one of her grapes, and man, if she'd had a knife, I'd have had a hole. I didn't ask. He obeyed, and 5,000 plus people. 5,000 plus people were fed with a little sack lunch. All because he listened and he obeyed. You see, Jesus isn't asking us honestly to do anything heroic, anything massive. He said, just stress out a little. Just one step at a time. That's it. Just take that one little step. You know, be faithful in church. Go on one visitation. Hand out one track. Tell somebody what Jesus done for you. And it goes up. You could go on and on and on. See one special. Be willing to pray this time of the day or that time of the day. Be willing to take the time out and turn off the TV and spend just a little bit of time reading the Bible. Amen. Just one little step at a time. Why doesn't Jesus just give us something massive to do? You ever wonder that? Well, the truth of the matter is, if we can't be faithful in the one thing and obey in the little bitty thing, why would he give us the big thing? I don't know of any other answer. You see, we got to be faithful in that. But not only that, he wanted Peter to do something. When he got in the boat, what did he do? He told him to thrust out a little. And then what did he do? He preached. Peter was busy doing what? Washing his nets. Jesus standing on the seashore, Peter's out there washing his nets. He ain't listening to Jesus. But now Jesus is in the boat. He's listening to Jesus. Now, he don't have any choice. This man is standing here in the boat and he hears everything going on. Yeah, he kept washing his nets. But he hears everything. And I imagine every now and then he stopped and looked. What did he say? Huh? You know, it's hard to say what all was running through people. But and his partners, by the way, they were probably all listening too, because they're like, look at him, he's in Peter's boat. What's he doing? I mean, he's a preacher. He ain't a fisherman. See, you know, there's lots of stuff that could have happened.
But you see, why did he need... Peter was saved. Back some time before that, Peter was saved. Peter admitted who he was. He told him, he said, Lord, you're the Messiah. And God told him, Jesus told him, he said, God revealed that to you. Amen. It didn't come from anybody else. God revealed that to you. You see, he was a saved man. I mean, he's going to heaven. What's the point? Why did he need preaching? Well, there's lots of reasons we need preaching. You see, if you want more faith, if you want to experience more grace, if you want more blessings in your life, if you want to have a life more abundant, if you want to see miracles happen in your life, you got to be willing to be still and listen to the Lord.
Right.
You got to be willing to hear the Word of God. You see, Peter needed preaching and teaching. Why? Because it builds our faith. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's how we strengthen our faith. If you want to have a stronger body, you've got to do what? You've got to go out and exercise. You've got to do some push-ups. I ain't sure how many I could do. At one time I could do a bunch. But I ain't got old. You want to do sit-ups, you got to make yourself sit up. You want to build your body, that's what it takes. You want to have them rolls, you know, right here, they call them a six-pack. You got to do what it takes to build all of that. It's the same way with our spiritual life. If we want a strong spiritual life, a strong relationship, a strong faith, and see blessings in our life, we've got to exercise that, and the way we do that and the way we feed that is through the preaching of the Word. That's why Peter was saved. Jesus didn't have him because he needed to get saved. He needed to build on that. You see, it's more about just getting saved. You see, we're too busy in our lives. We need to put some things aside. See, Martha and Mary. Mary is sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. Martha's running all about, washing dishes and fixing this and fixing that. And she's all frustrated. And she tells Jesus, Martha, how come Mary ain't helping me? Martha, you're too busy. She's getting what she needs. It's a whole lot more important than a hamburger. Well, they've probably eaten something else. But it's a whole lot more important than that. You're too busy. You see, we're too busy to get those little things. And we need that. Let me read this. 1 Samuel chapter 9. In verse 27, before Saul became king, he was with Samuel, and it says in verse 27, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. In other words, lay down the phone, turn it off. Turn off the TV. Quit worrying about what's at the front door. Don't worry about what your neighbor's up to. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the Word of God. See, we need to stand still a while, and we need to read the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. We need to put all of these other things aside and come to where the preaching of the Word is, the teaching of the Word is. That's why we have what they call Sunday school. Because they needed more teaching. We have what we call church because it's the preaching of the Word. And the only way you're going to get the preaching of the Word is that there's a preacher preaching the Word. That's what the Word of God says. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Oh, isn't it special, the people that go out and preach? That's what it says, and if you'll finish reading Romans 10. They go out and they do that. It's important for us, or it wouldn't have been in there. You see, ask yourself, are you too busy to thrust out just a little? Got to take that just that little step. But then, number two, he says, look at verse 4. And when he had left speaking, when he quit preaching, he stopped preaching. He could have just stepped out of the boat. Thanks, Peter. Or he would have said Simon at that time. Thanks, Simon. And go on back up on the bank and go eat some fish. Because I'm sure somebody was cooking some. Well, no, I don't know. They didn't catch any. Somebody may have. He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. He said, launch out into the deep, Peter. And by the way, let your nets down because there's going to be a bunch of fish in it. That's basically what he told him. It wasn't just throw them out there and see if you get it. No. He said, throw them out there. There's a draw. That means they're there. You just got to throw your nets in. But he said, launch out into the deep. You've taken that first little step, Peter. Now take that big step. Go on out there in it. Get into the deep water. I took care of you with a little bit. Now let's try this. You see, before we can do this, though, we got to be faithful with a little. And then he'll move you forward. And by the way, Jesus isn't going to ask you to do something until you're ready. You may take the little step, and it may be years and years before you got to do another one. And that day may never come. He may be satisfied with you being right where you're at. Not everybody's going to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to be a missionary. Although we're missionaries around our own area. But not everybody's going to go to foreign fields. But he may ask. But he won't do it until you're ready. You see, Saul of Tarsus, or we know him as Paul, he was ready. How do you say he was ready? Who held the coats of those that stoned Stephen? Saul did. And I believe the whole time he's watching Stephen being stoned, and the Holy Ghost was convicting him.
Amen.
That's why when he got struck down on the road to Damascus, he didn't say, "Who are you?" No, he said, "Lord, what would you have me?" Capital L, Lord. It was already working in his life. He was ready to do what the Lord told him he was going to do. You see, when the Lord is ready for us to step out, he'll do that. But you know what? Too many people, they don't ever allow that to happen. I rode horses most of my life. And the first thing you do when you get on a horse, you want to make sure he's calm and you're just going to walk because, well, you know, that's nervous. And then there's some people never get no further than a walk. They have no idea what it's like to lope out across a pasture or at a dead run and you don't even worry about what's out there. Grass that high. And you've got that dude stretched out and they'll stretch his neck out and lay his ears back and his tail behind him and you are moving. Or the experience of backing into a rope box. You're sitting there holding your coils in your hand and your rein and you got your loop and man, while they're sitting back in the box, you can feel their muscles just trembling. They're ready. And they come out of there like a little rocket. Unreal. Some people never experienced that because they wouldn't go any further. They never went to the loping. They never went to any running. My daughter barrel races up in Michigan. She's fixing to be... They're sanctioning the group she's with to get PRCA points, which is pro rodeo points. And you end up going to the NFR if you want to. But man, the experience she had behind that, I took her with me when she was a little bitty thing. And I told her, I said, if you can saddle your horse, you can ride with me. And she got her horse saddled.
And she got on her horse and she went with me, and we went all up in the mountains of Colorado. We're just riding around. And we get to this big ditch. And I just went on through the ditch. Horse got down there in the middle of it, and she jumps across and went up the other side. I look back, Jesse ain't there. I'm like, hey, come on. I can't. I said, why not? I can't do it. Up until that point, we walked everywhere we went, maybe a little trot. But we got to that ditch, and it was like, no, I can't do that. I said, well, good grief, get off and lead her through. No, she'll step on me. I said, okay. I said, I'll come back across the ditch. We'll go back to the barn. Oh, no. She just, and away across, that horse jumped that ditch like it was the Grand Canyon. From that day forward, dead run, whole night, now she's barrel racing, running barrels in 14 seconds or less. Because she was willing to launch out into the deep. See, we got to be willing to step out into the deep before we can experience what may be coming after that. Amen. You see, some Christians just never move any further than, oh, I got saved and I'm on my way to heaven. They hold down the pews, good. You see, the Lord wants that deeper relationship with us. He wants us to learn more than just how to get saved. He wants us to learn more than just how to lead someone to Christ. If there wasn't any more teaching in the Word of God, you'd get saved, fall over dead, and go to heaven. But you see, there's learning in there. Why did in the Old Testament, why did the priest have to do all the sacrifices? What did all of that represent? What's the purpose of the body of Christ? What's the purpose of the bride of Christ? Listen, if it was to get saved, then that's all we're supposed to do. There wouldn't be no bride of Christ. It's not just about that. There's so much more. And what do you do whenever you face a giant? We know what to do. Depend on God, because David done it. What do we do when we got just a little bitty lunch? We pray about it and give it to the Lord. He'll take care of you. You don't know how many times I went to, me and her, we go down to feed the homeless every Sunday in Vegas with Brother Craig Stark, and Lori and Freddie would go. Deanna would go. Sister Nita went with us. We'd show up down there. We never knew whether we'd have 50 people or 200 people. We made the same amount every time. And it never run out. They always got something to eat. And sometimes I'd look in there and I'm like, oh, this ain't going to make it. But it never, whenever we was done, we scraped the last pan out to somebody that already had a bowl or two bowls or three bowls of soup. I did 200 hot dogs one day. Put them in a cooler. I know for a fact it was 200. I can figure. Believe it or not, I graduated and got a college degree. I'm counting. And 200 hot dogs. We go down there, and people were counted. 250 people is what I was told. And I'm like, Craig? I said, we ain't got 200 hot dogs. Brother, let's pray about it. And we prayed about it. Do you know we fed every one of them, and some of them come back and got 3 and 4? Don't ask me to explain it. Nobody said, oh, Lord, give us some more hot dogs. No. We just prayed and said, Lord, you take care of this. And we left it alone, and we just stepped out, started serving hot dogs, fed all of them, and some of them got 2 or 3. I ain't going to explain it, but I will tell you this. We were willing to step out just a little, and then we were willing to go out into the deep, and the Lord blessed, and there was a lot of things that come from that. A lot of blessings. I've seen a lot of joy from that. You see, that's what the Lord wants. And some people will, well, I've tried doing this for the Lord, and it failed, and I've tried, and people made fun of me.
Well, bless your heart. Jesus hung on the cross and they made fun of him. He's our example. Listen, don't worry about what they say. Don't let your failure stop you from getting a blessing. Do you see, if you notice what Peter said, well, we fished all night, Lord. I mean, you're a preacher. I'm a fisherman. You know, that ain't what he said, but that's what he was thinking. We fished all night, but you know what? Nevertheless, it's your word. I'll do what you ask. You see, and you could go into the fact that he didn't give it his all because the Lord said, let your nets, plural, down for a draw. And Peter said, well, I'll cast a net in. He didn't give it his all, but he did. He wasn't. Think about it, Peter threw all his nets in there. Oh, it'd been unreal. But he did. He let it, you see, thrust out just a little bit, Peter. Now, thrust out in the deep, Peter. Do what I ask you to do, Peter. Okay. We fished all night, failed, I didn't even get a minnow. But I'm going to do it because you asked me to. You may not totally believe everything of what the Lord's laid on your heart to do, but step out because He told you to. It doesn't matter whether you can figure it, well, Lord, I figured this up on paper. This ain't going to happen. It don't matter. Step out and do it anyway. You see, if it's what the Lord wants you to do, that's what you've got to do. You see, when you notice what Peter did, he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Peter did. It didn't matter to Peter that people might make fun. You got to think about this. On the Sea of Galilee, if you study it, they fish at nighttime, not in the daytime. They were fishermen, professional fishermen. They knew what they were doing. Jesus is a preacher. But they forgot one thing. Jesus made the fish. Amen. And by the way, the fish obey. Right. Unlike us. We don't obey. Done a sermon about that the other day. You see, he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Didn't matter whether people were going to make fun of it. It doesn't matter whether people are going to slam the door in your face when you're knocking on a door on visitation. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter when you hand a tract to somebody and they say, I don't want that blank, blank thing. Just walk away.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. Nevertheless, Lord, at thy will, I'll do it.
Amen.
Because if you hadn't ever led nobody to the Lord, you ain't got a clue what kind of joy you're missing.
Amen.
It's a joy, I'm going to be honest with you, I can't even explain the feeling you get when you go with somebody and they ask Jesus into their heart. It's a joy that is, there's no words for it. You see, the last thing that he asked is in verse 11. It says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. You see, he asked them, he said, thrust out just a little. Thrust out into the deep, Peter. And then he said, follow me. So he done asked them, I don't know how many times, but they kept letting everything else get in the way. But finally they pulled their boats up to the land and this wood shrinks because it ain't wet no more. That meant they were done. I'm done fishing. I'm done with this. The rest of them followed too. Andrew, James, John. They followed Jesus too. They jumped in on that deal and said, okay, Lord, we got it. Because of the first miracle they saw with all those fish, they were right there, and all of them fish all jumped into the net. And it filled up both ships. It was a real problem for them, to be honest. But it was a lot of money, I'm sure. You see, they forsook all and followed Him. See, Jesus was building Peter's faith. He had been building Peter's faith over and over and over. One time they're in the boat and Jesus is asleep. Oh, Lord, wake up, we're going to die. Jesus says, where's your faith? And one time they're in the boat by themselves. Jesus said, hey, guys, going over there. I'll meet you around in the corner there in just a bit. They rode. Then they're out there dying and they're like, oh, what are we going to do? And Jesus came up and said, hey, it's okay, everything's cool. Peace be still. Where's your faith? I told you we was going to the other side.
Right.
And then one day, Peter says, hey, Lord, if that's you, let me come see you on the water. He stepped out of the boat. You see, all of this was building his faith and his relationship with the Lord. And by the way, when he started to sink, he hollered out, Lord, save me. He didn't mean save me, because he's already going to heaven. He meant save me, I'm sinking. And the Lord picked him right up. You got to remember, if we go out and attempt things that we feel the Lord's laid on our heart, listen, if it all starts falling to a heap, ask the Lord for help. He's there to help us. But we got to be willing to step out. You see, it's important. Peter, he said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. And he stepped out of the boat. I've had preachers talk about, well, you know, he stepped out of the boat and he walked on water, but he lost his faith, took his eyes off Jesus. Well, he's done more than I've done. I never walked on water.
Amen.
I hit it so hard one time, skiing, and I just rolled across. But I ain't never just stepped out of the boat and walked on water. I got to hand it to him. And by the way, that was in a storm.
Right.
I've been in a few storms, and I wouldn't have got out of the boat. You see, they all forsook and they followed. You see, where are you right now in the school of faith? Is the Lord saying, thrust out just a little. Thrust out a little. Step out and do this for me. And you're like, well... You know, ask yourself, where are you at? Maybe you're at that point. You already thrust it out a little. But maybe the Lord wants you to do something bigger. You never know. I don't know what the Lord wants out of a person. That's in their heart. They come and tell me. And then we pray about it. I got one right now that's talked to me about some things. And they say, you know, the Lord's laid it on my heart. This is what... But man, I ain't ready. I said, well, you just need to pray about it. And then the Lord talked to him about it and said, yeah, you got a lot of studying to do, don't you? That's stepping out. Because there's a lot that gets involved in that. You see, where are you at school of faith at? Where are you at in that? You in the pew? Maybe you're in the boat. Maybe you're willing to get out of the boat. Don't know. Look at verse 6 and 7. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their other partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. You see, if Peter hadn't obeyed, he'd have never received such a blessing.
Amen.
That was a lot of money. And not only would he have not received that blessing, he'd have never seen that miracle.
Amen.
Up front and close. And think about this. Because of Peter's obedience, it affected other people. You see, our obedience affects other people. Our obedience affects these guys right here. And these guys right here, it affects each and every one of us. Our obedience. But guess what? Unfortunately, there's a flip side to that. The lack of our obedience affects others too. It does. I'm living proof of that. I got one, maybe two kids, maybe all three today. I may say they're in church. Well, they may be. But then again, they may not be. I know one of them isn't. Ought to be. But I'll say, okay, they're going on vacation. That's fine. But now I don't know about two others I've got. Where are they at? My lack of obedience affected them later in years. Because when they were little guys, I wasn't obedient. Oh, sometimes I was. But sometimes I wasn't. I pay for that. You know, and now I can even say, hey, this is where you ought to be. Well, Dad, you know, I had this to do, I had that to do, got to go here, got to go there. I will hand it to them on the norm. They're in church. I'm going to brag on them. They've kind of straightened their life out. But I will tell you, because of my lack of obedience, my lack of concern, I'll say, for the church and for the Lord, they have that same life. And that's sad, but it's true. Where are you at today? Will you trust and obey the Lord? Let's stand.